just give you, now, you know how we sing the Shavuot Aniyim.
Right.
Okay, now when we...
This is working here once.
Now here you would say it this way. Shavuot Aniyim Ata Tishma Zakat Hadal Takshim Vitoshia V'chatub פנינו צדיקים באדוני, לישרים נאווה תהילה. And the crowd will join. בפי ישרים תתרומה, ובשפתי צדיקים תתברך, ובלשון חסידים תתקדש, וקרב קדושים תתהלה. Like a somber.
Yeah, very.
Lovely. And the, you would actually read it. It's not like in the makam. It's a one makam that they pray only for the high holiday.
What makam is it?
I don't know the name. It's not. There's no really no name for it. The mikalot rivot amika bet Israel shekiyeh chobat kol hayisurim lefanicha adonai Eloheinu velehi avotenu. Notice how it's very simple. And
everybody says this.
And everybody is praying with the Hazan. In very low voices. You know, you can actually hear the people praying in a very low voice on the Hazan. Actually, the Hazan is only leading the Kahal at the prayer.
So that really is different than what happens in Shabbat.
Very different. Shabbat and the and holidays and Yom Tov. This is only on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Also the Shemoneh Esrei. Also said in a sing-song pattern. It's Adonai sefatai tiftah ufi yagit elatecha Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu v'elohe avotenu Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov El gadol, gibor v'nora El alyon, kamei hasadim tovim Kone hakol, v'zocher hasdi avot ומביא גואל לבני בניהם למען שמו באהבה. And it's the same in all the congregations. That's the way they say.
Sections that are sung as a.
Yeah, then for like the Zochim Lachayim, the different pieces. The Kahal would sing this, and the Hazan would repeat it. Zochenu Lachayim, Melech Hafez Bachayim. קודנו בספר חיים למענך אלוהים חיים מלך עוזר ומושיע ומבין. That the Hazan would take over. People would stop here in חיים and the Hazan would take over. Say the Beracha. There are a few places where the Kahal join in.
And I'm sure that there are certain piyutim that are, would you say, specifically within...
Yeah, the piyutim are only said on the holidays.
Yeah.
None of them are said during the year.
I think those are that different for...
Oh yeah, for Rosh Hashanah Kippur, a completely different type of prayer.
What about like for the Shalosh Regalim? I know that there's sometimes certain melodies that you say, for example, in Hallel.
The Hallel, usually they say...
There are just a couple sections that are sung.
Min HaMesad, right. Yeah. Right. Min HaMesad. That's...
It's just an old melody?
Just a regular melody. It's not...
Do you know if that comes from a Pizmon name?
It's not from a Pizmon, no. I don't know where it's from.
Okay. And likewise, I guess with Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, none of those melodies are from his memory.
No. The mode of prayer, the makam, is a completely different makam that is used during the year. They never use it during the year. It's only used on the high holidays. So it must be you know, very, very old.
Yeah.
I mean, some people say it's from the Beit HaMikdash. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame there's not too much, you know, that they didn't have any recordings in those days.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have recordings.
That's for sure. Even 100 years ago, they didn't have recordings. Would you say things have changed much from you when you were growing up as a kid in the synagogue?
No. I don't think so. In what way? In the area of prayer and
yeah. Well, certainly. I mean, the text would have changed. I guess in terms of melodies.
Wow.
Maybe overall.
You have to understand that going back 50 years, most of the people that in the community were people that came from the old country. So they already had that, you know, education of the pizmonim and of the prayer and of the melodies, which is very, very difficult for the average American boy that's growing up today.
Right.
They can't. Many of them can't grasp the scale or the makam of the Arabic music. Very difficult,
right.
You know, to give the scale.
Sure.
I mean, they can sing, say, Ajam, which is the major scale, or the Nahwan, which is the minor scale,
right.
But to sing Bayat,
right.
or Rust, or Siga,
mm-hmm.
It's not so easy. That's why it's very, very difficult for a lot of the youth to learn how to pray in the old ways. And that is another reason why we're bringing a lot of the Hazanim from Israel, where they're closer to the Arabic music than we are over here.
Mm-hmm.
They hear it on the radio, their television, you know, their workers are all Arabic, so they can hear it,
yeah,
they learn it,
right.
It's easier for them to learn. Whereas over here, it's very difficult for the American student to learn. But they're making a bigger effort now in the schools, in the yeshivas, to teach them. They're utilizing a lot of the new immigrants from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
To teach in the schools.
Wow.
And beside the melodies, they also want them to be, they want them to pronounce the ayin and the hurt.
Right.
Where they can't, they don't learn that in the, like in Flatbush Yeshiva, it's very, very difficult. Although now, even in Flatbush Yeshiva, that's why they brought Farhi,
uh-huh.
to teach them. This is an amazing thing. I have six of my grandchildren going to Magadan this year, and two going to, six going to Flatbush and two going to Magadan this year. And now they're teaching the kids in Flatbush how to say the Haggadah, the way we say it. Because even the Haggadah we say completely different.
Right.
You know, the Haggadah Shel Pesach. So one of my granddaughters came last year and she has a good ear, you know. She can pick up very quickly.
she learned how to say Manishtana. And she said, you know, the four questions.
Right.
She said it first, she said it in Yiddish. And then she said it in the regular no-sound that we say it in.
Wow.
We were on the floor, and I have a son-in-law who is Ashkenaz, Dr. Murray Jonas, I don't know, you probably don't know. And his three kids go to Flatbush Yeshiva. And they were on the floor when they were saying in Yiddish. But that's what they have to teach. They have to teach the kids, you know, the roots, you know.
Right. You see, it's what you've been saying. It seems that there is more effort now.
Now than there was 20 years ago, yes. Much more.
Why do you think that is?
I'll tell you why I think it is, because most of the young parents today, the young fathers, a lot of them went to Flatbush Yeshiva, and they saw that they missed a lot, and they want to learn now. They want their children to learn, so they're making a very big effort now to have their children learn our nosa, our way of saying the Haggadah, our way of saying the Megillah. One thing we always emphasized in our education was reading. Reading was very, very important. Praying, able to lead the prayers, able to get up and to make a minyan and not be ashamed of not knowing how to read. So they were. I know when I went to school, when I went to Talmud Torah here in America, I went after finishing public school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By 3:30, we were in Hebrew school, and we went to school for 4 hours a day. And that was all. That wasn't only me. That was everybody, you know, in my generation.
Right.
They had in the 4 hours. We went from 3:30 to 7:30. We didn't get home till sometimes 7:45, 8 o'clock.
Every day
and Sundays. So it was like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no, Friday. It was 5 days. 4 hours. Now, how did they split the 4 hours? 2 hours was split. 2 hours was reading. Just reading, either the Perasha, the Nebi'im, the Ketubim, the Megillot for the holidays, the Pizmon, the Zemirot, the holiday, the Zemirot, you know, for the holiday, for Pesach, for Shavuot, for Rosh Hashanah, all these things. And before Rosh Hashanah, they used to teach you how to pray, you know, for the holidays. They taught us all the Megillot, Ruth, Esther, completely different melodies.
Right.
They weren't all the same melody.
Right. What do you? What? I'm sorry. I don't
and
know
2 hours. That was 2 hours of the four. The second 2 hours was learning Habana, understanding, explaining everything. We used to learn Perasha Rashi. Little Gemara, Halachot, Mishnayot, you know, that's 2 hours a day.
Halacha?
Yeah.
Okay. When you said the Zmirot for Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, you just mean like the special prayers? I mean, what, I'm sorry, I don't know, what special
in other words,
is for Pesach?
Of the Ashkenazi inherit. I don't think they do have it. But Rosh Chodesh, they say Baruch Nafshi.
Yeah, we say that too. But you know,
the Shalosh they get it.
If Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbat?
No. In other words, if it comes out on Saturday, they don't say. If it comes out on Sunday, they say Sunday night. If it's 2 days, they only say the first. He's Pesach.
מתחילים להנהג ארם סוגה, מתחילים פסוקים אלה, these are the first פסוקים, then they say this psalm, that's the Pesach. When do they say this? Yeah. Just before, they say it before Arbit. They sing it before Arbit. The whole Kahal sings it together. And they have to learn it.
Right.
And you know, it's not easy to teach it to a boy who goes to flat with yeshiva and never learned these melodies.
Right.
It's very difficult. Then they have Shavuot,
they
have Sukkot,
right?
Shemini Aseret. From 412 to 418. And I'll tell you something else that's very interesting. That was in Magen David. This was mostly people that came from Aleppo. They went to that public school, you know, to the Talmud Torah. They called it Magen David. Magen David, Talmud Torah. Now, what did the people from Damascus, what kind of schooling did they have? They had a school. You ever go to a Midwestern small town where they have kids of all ages in one class?
Sure.
This is what they had over here.
Because there were few of them?
Now, whereas in our school, when we explained a pasuk in the Torah, we would explain it in Hebrew.
Okay.
They would explain it in Arabic.
Uh-huh.
It was called sharah. It's an Arabic word, sharah, which means explaining, you know.
Okay.
And they would read the whole Megillah. They would read it in Arabic.
Wow.
And there was a set way of reading it.
They still do that now?
No.
I imagine there will be some people who know how to do that.
They learned the Torah in sharah. They learned Mishleh in sharah. They learned Rut in sharah. They learned Megillat Esther in sharah. The Haggadah Shel Pesach. They learned it in sharah.
Wow.
And they learned it by heart.
All this by heart?
By heart. Which is, about, you say by rote, I mean by heart,
right.
They learn it by heart. They know they learned it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. In fact, you know this fellow that sits next to me many times, Mo Gindi? He gets up to pray Musaf sometimes while it's big white hair.
Right. And
sit down with him. He'll give you part of it in Arabic. And all in sharah.
Is he from Damascus? Or?
No.
He just sort of learned it.
Some of the parents that came here from the old country wanted their children to learn the real, that's where they taught them in Aleppo. My father knew all this in Arabic. He would say the Haggadah, he was able to say the Haggadah all in Arabic.
But how come they didn't teach it here?
Here they didn't feel that it was that important because it wasn't our language.
Right.
And many, many of the students that learned it in Arabic didn't know what they were saying. It's like taking a young boy here and telling him, okay, I'm going to teach you this in Yiddish.
Right.
So he learned it in Yiddish by heart. He learned it by heart in Yiddish, but he doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't know Yiddish.
Sometimes that happens with people with Hebrew.
Right.
They learn how to say it in Hebrew and they have no idea what
Okay, saying. But when we went to school, when we said, Ashrei Yoshvei Betecha, we would say in Hebrew, Hayoshbim Bebetecha Ashrehem, you know, we'd explain it in Hebrew.
Right.
So this way we learned the language and we were able to understand what we were reading, what we were saying.
Huh.
So we learn Abrit Be'Abrit. The Lubavitch and how do they teach?
Through Yiddish.
Abrit, the Yiddish.
Right. call it Tai Ching.
So they learn Ivrit be Arabic. But they had a certain a way of, in other words, they explained this word, you know, they explained it, and it's like a sing song. They sang it, you know, so they were able to memorize it. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Here, look at this. No. Don't put it on tape, because here, I don't even know, I'm not proficient in Arabic. But in this book, we have the Aseret Debirot, written by Sa'adiyah HaGaon. I think, let me see. Here, Gaon HaKadmon, Sa'adiyah HaGaon. This was all written in the Ten Commandments. He wrote it in Arabic.
Okay.
This is all in Arabic. ابتدى كلامنا ومفتاح أفوامنا يغاب علينا شكر إلانا. I don't do that. And I ابتدى كلامنا, I will start my words. ومفتاح أفوامنا, I will open, I don't even know what this word means. يغاب علينا, we were able to receive شكر إلانا, which is something from God.
So this is what you would call sharah?
This is sharah.
This is sharah. Okay.
And it's not in the, it's the sharah is not in the everyday Arabic language. Mm-hmm. It's like the poetic language, poetic Arabic language.
Is that like what the original song, the like the Pismanim song, that a lot of these songs are based on? Is that a different type of Arabic?
Different. So some of it is like that, but... okay. But this is written when? So I go on about 1,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah, right.
This is 1,000 years ago.
Wow.
This is all in Arabic. The whole Ten Commandments.
And people still say this?
They only some of them say it only on... they so sing it... on Tu Bishba.
They sing it on Pesach also.
No.
We never sang it.
Yeah. We never said it in Pesach.
Did you ever say it on Pesach?
No.
Your family ever said it?
No.
I know people used to say it, but like, I think when they came to America...
The Ashkelmet? Not Ashkelmet. Oh, no, that's different. No, that's different. That's different. That's different. That's a song that they sang in Pesach, right.
Echad Meyodea.
Echad Meyodea in Arabic. But this is Aseret Debirot by Sa'adiyah HaGaon. It's right here, Mickey, look. It's in the Pizmonim book. And it's all in Arabic. I'm sure your father, Alayhi Shalom, used to knew all this in Arabic. Even ask Abe.
I know, but they never said the Arabic stuff.
No.
You know, because they came to America, they wanted to be fancy, I think. Okay, they'd rather say it in French.
Right. Now, I was telling you the difference in the teaching of my generation between some parents who wanted us to learn what we were reading and some that didn't care what we were reading, but sent them to learn sharah.
Yeah. Ashkenaz usually want to learn what they're reading. Syrians want to read it and look good. No, seriously.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, does this guy have that bar of yara or not? That's it. Does he know how to read or not? Okay, most of my, I can hardly read out loud. I can't do it. I try to understand what I'm saying. I know some people that whiz right through, not a word do they understand.
What do you mean by look good? Mean that they sound
that
like
they, yes,
they sound like they know what they're doing.
Like I was telling you, you know, they emphasized reading.
Right.
As I mentioned before, they emphasized reading more than understanding.
Yes, and you know what? One word? No, not a word.
Yeah. Even in Arabic, like I have Mo Gimbi sitting next to me, he can say the whole Haggadah and Sharah.
Yeah.
In Arabic, the whole thing by heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's no word.
Even Arabic doesn't understand it? Is it Nahawi or regular Arabic?
It's different. It's a different type
of
Arabic.
Just like Shira Shirim, you ever hear it in Arabic?
No.
Somebody sang it, our father has a tape of it. It's all Nahawi.
Nahawi, yeah. So it's very hard.
It's very hard. Nahawi is the classical Arabic.
Classical Arabic.
Nahawi.
Right.
Okay.
Was she your teacher, Kay?
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw her. Kay came up here once.
Kay
Chalamet came up here. She was teaching in NYU. And she asked me if I would go and perform in front of her class.
Mickey Kim and I went up.
They must mixed. Have their own culture. A lot of it probably Turkish or Spanish or something like that. It's just not.
They have the Ladina. Okay.
Do you have to get going?
What else? Anything else?
Yeah, I always have things. I'm just curious about some of these some comments about
that you need me?
Oh yeah, okay. Let me take them.
Okay.
Hello. Albert, how are you? I did. I waited 10 minutes. You were on the phone. Didn't she tell you? Didn't she tell you I called back? I called this morning. Oh. Oh, I didn't know. I'm busy. I have a meeting over here. I have a meeting here. That's why I. What's doing?
On Avenue K? You ever go there for a Sabbath?
Mm.
That corner house on Avenue K and Ocean Parkway?
I've seen people walk in there, by the way.
This was a social club.
Okay.
We rented the basement to pray there. And we started with maybe 15, 20 people.
Hmm. Now, you're bursting at the seams. It's amazing. Have you been associated with them from the beginning?
Not from the inception, mm-hmm. but about a year or 2 years later, mm-hmm. I started with them.
So you've really been with them for a while.
Oh, yeah, 30 years.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just sort of are the Chazan, just out of the goodness of your heart.
I was living in Bensonhurst,
uh-huh.
and. I was drafted as a cantor. I never learned to become a cantor. I never went to school or my father, Alav Shalom, was loved to sing this morning. He loved to sing this morning. And we sang every Friday night and every Saturday.
Mm.
We sang this morning. And that's how I was able to understand the music, the pizmoni, the bakashot, and I would say when I was 28 years old, I went to a synagogue, and they drafted me to be the chazan for the day, for that day. Because they had this, we used to daven on 67th Street. We were called Benim Agen David. It wasn't really a youth minyan, but it was a minyan of many of our young adults. And then I think we had about 200, 250 people over there. But we had a chazan over there. Then the Sephardic Center opened up on Avenue P and 75th Street, where the Magen David Yeshiva is today.
Okay.
This originally was opened up as a center for the community. We moved from that
area. Now, is that in Bensonhurst?
It's in Bensonhurst, yeah.
Okay.
And we moved there. We had our minyan over there. When they moved there, they decided they didn't want to stay with the same chazan. It was getting old, and you know they felt that they'll have volunteers getting up to pray. So it was about 2 months later, they said, okay, Ike, you're going to pray next Saturday. So I went to my father and I said, Dad, I said, they want me to pray Nishmet Saturday. He says, beautiful, very good. Why not? I said, but Dad, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. He says, don't worry. He says, I'll go get... And he mentions this man who is called Eliyahu Medjed. Eliyahu Medjed.
Medjed?
M-E-M-A-G-E-D. That's, I think they have a write-up about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
A write-up about it. So he comes over to the house and he taught me. He told me what pieces to say for the, what makam to say. He says, okay, he says, you know what makam, no, listen to this. You know what makam it is Saturday? I says, what's a makam? I didn't even know what makam was or what he was talking about. To show you how I knew nothing. And I started with him and he taught me, you know, what to say, how to say it. And I don't think you have it over here.
I did see
maybe it's in the new book. Maybe it's here.
I think it was in the new book. So then he just taught you which pismonim?
What pismonim to say. So when I prayed that Saturday, they enjoyed it so much, they said, okay, you're hired. I was there for about 2 years when I left. When I left there, about 6 months later or a year later.
Did the minyan have a name?
The
this minyan at the Sephardic Center?
No, I don't think it had a name.
Uh-huh. I don't know. And what year was this?
And the rabbi was Rabbi Hecht. Rabbi uh-huh. Hecht was there. And also Hachem Matlub Abadi. He was one of the top rabbis in the community at the time.
Hmm. And you said about 200 people? Or?
We had more than, I'd say, more than 200 people, 250 people.
Hmm.
And that's how I got started.
That's how you got your start.
My start. But it's not that, you know, I was just fortunate to have a pleasant voice, and well, people don't look for the, they don't want a Caruso up there. They're not,
right.
They're interested, most of our people are interested in praying,
right.
Having a pleasant prayer, and going home, that's all. Their interest right. is in praying and going home. Their interest is not to come to listen to a concert. Don't put that in here because it completely changed once they brought Rabbi Elnadav to Shari Sion. The whole mode of prayer changed. It became more like a.
We changed overall. Changed everywhere.
No.
Or just changed there.
Changed there.
Yeah.
And now even now synagogue, you know, with the Haskel Sion, it's become more like a, you know, it's a show. He gets up there, and, you know, it's. Whereas I, if you notice, when I'm praying, everybody's praying with me.
Right.
But when they pray, it's hard to pray with them. Because they will take a sentence, they'll embellish it.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, they would go very quickly into the prayer. No, don't write that. I don't think that you shouldn't write that. But
I've noticed sometimes, like with the Haskell, that he sometimes runs through some words so quick.
Yeah.
That.
Because he's trying to make up time.
That's impossible to.
All the Ashkenaz cantors, if you listen to them, they'll take one pasuk and they'll sing it and embellish it and back and forth and up right. and down and repeat. And one thing we don't do is repeat. In our prayers, you know, it's.
Right.
The Ashkenazim repeat.
You repeat words?
They repeat words.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like they say,
Well, yeah, some of the Ashkenaz places do that.
Right? Say it 3 times.
Right.
You can't, it's not, you cannot repeat the words.
You can only say it once, that's it.
Okay.
And today it's becoming more like the Ashkenaz, where the cantors have cultured voices, they know music, they're able to compose pieces. Mm-hmm. The old way of praying was not like that. There were more Shaliach Zibur than there were Hazanim.
Right. It's interesting because a lot of Ashkenazi people talk about the same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? That
that's why I think young Israel don't want Hazanim.
Right, exactly.
They don't want that you'd be these big Hazanim. They're right. Coming to shul, they want to pray.
Right, exactly.
They want. So they also have that same split that we...
Right, exactly.
We're going
exactly.
through that now. Now we're going through that because we never had... Hazanim that had, although we did have, this Ash'ar was a magnificent singer. Moshe Ash'ar, Hakam Moshe Ash'ar. He's a very interesting man, because he was not only a Hazan, he also was a Koreh. He also composed a lot of music. He was a poet.
It seems that so much of, I guess, this book being put together is due to him, isn't it?
He had his own book.
Really?
A very thin book that he...
His own handwritten book? Or?
No, he had a printed book.
Oh, really?
But without Nikudur. That's another thing that revolutionized Pizmonim in our community. Up till about, say, 25 years ago. I don't know when was this book first published.
In the 60s?
1983.
Okay. That was the first? No, I think it wasn't before then.
Copyright 1983. It's got to be before then.
I thought I'd seen in other editions that it will say. Because this is fifth edition. I mean,
This was, here. First printing 1964.
64, right. And before that, there was...
Before that, they had Pizmonim books, but there was no Nekudot. Okay. The average person couldn't read it. It was too difficult for him to sing the songs because there was no books. There was no... it wasn't... first of all, they didn't have any books. It wasn't readily available to them. If you want, I can show you. I have an old, very old book.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
That when they first was printed in...
And most of those Pizmonim have been incorporated in this book?
Yeah, most of them are. Not all of them, but most of them are. All the Bakashot are, but not all the Pizmonim. Because there are many Pizmonim that people don't know.
Uh-huh.
So every time they print another book, they cut out a few pieces that they don't... So these are the guys. This is the one. These are the four people that were... I guess they got together and said, "We got to print a book." Once they didn't even realize what was going to come off. Once they printed this book, everybody in the community wanted it because now they can join in the singing. At one time, there was 3-4 people that knew how to sing
because they memorized it, or
no, because they were able to use the book. They had that old book, so they were able to learn it.
Was it laid out like this? I mean, this is like so nicely laid out.
It's laid out beautifully because of the Nekudot.
Right. But like, the acrostic here, and, if it rhymes, you can see if it's a rhyming phrase.
Yeah, the other one you can't see. I'll show you. I'll come to my house one day and I'll show it to you. When do you have to have all this written?
Next year.
Okay, so we can get together. I'll show you the different books that were printed. One by Ash'ar and one by... Rafael Tabush had his book.
Wow.
And show you the difference in the book.
Is it possible to do before you go to New Jersey?
Maybe Sunday, if we can get together. Sure. Sunday, I might have time in the afternoon, I'll say. Call me up.
Okay.
But once they made it so easy, you can open the book and you can read it.
Right.
Whereas the other one, it's written without nekudot. It was very hard to read. So now everybody, you gotta see, even the kids want to learn.
Right.
There's a core of about 25 songs that almost everybody knows. And whenever they get together at a Sevet, Shabbaton or whatever it is, right, they sing those songs.
Are those like, you know, the record you did with Kay? Are those like those 25 or so songs? Or those
little record with
it? Yeah, the, it was like Yachid Ram.
Right,
A bunch of
I think those have about 10 songs on it.
Yeah, something like that. Right. Something like that. I know Mickey Carey's on the record, Motel. Right. So those are like, those songs on that record are like the main...
Correct.
The main ones? Okay.
That's about it. Let me see now. You know what to do? Sunday. It's going to be hard Sunday. Oh, God. I'll be honest with you. Where are you going to be Sunday?
I'll be in Flatbush. I mean, we
have... How?
Yeah, we have a, you know, Yom Yerushalayim thing we're doing.
Sunday night?
At 5 o'clock.
And how long is that going to take?
A couple hours, I'd imagine.
7 o'clock?
Yeah.
You finish 7?
Yeah.
Okay. If you call me 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Call me 2 o'clock. If I'm not home, leave a message.
Okay.
That I can reach you.
Okay.
I'll try to reach you. Maybe we can get together for a half hour, even a half hour.
Yeah.
On Sunday night.
Okay.
Because usually what I do Sundays is, you know, we have a bed evening I have to go to. Sunday morning. But you might take a ride uptown, you know, just to walk around. I hate to stay in Brooklyn. You know, go uptown almost every Sunday.
Yeah.
Go to a museum, go walk in the Central
Especially
Park.
With the weather so nice now.
Yeah, the weather's beautiful.
Yeah.
So leave a message. I'll try to get back to you.
Okay.
If I'm free Sunday night, maybe we'll get together even for a half hour right now or Sunday night. Okay. Bring your wife.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you. It was so